Now we're doing Parashat Vayishev. We're up to part 3. We had learned about Yehuda and the tragedies Yehuda suffers. There's a beautiful medrash that points out the strength of Yehuda. The medrash says Yosef had to deal with his problems down in Egypt. Yaakov's up home mourning over Yosef. The brothers, each one is with their issues. And Yehuda, what's he doing? He's busy bringing Mashiach to the world. That's a recurring theme in the Medrash, that when catastrophe strikes, so Yehuda, that's the strength of Yehuda in the darkest hour to be able to bring out light. That even as things seem to be totally down and out, Yehuda can bring light to the world and can use that moment or that period of darkness as a source of drawing out light. Yehuda doesn't stop. When Yehuda sees that the course the family's been on is not working out the way it should, so Yehuda leaves and develops a course which will ultimately bring Mashiach to the world. And that's the strength of Yehuda. So that's the Medrash.
It doesn't seem like from the Sukkim that was the intention of Tamar.
That was his strength.
Or Enon.
So Chazal say, when you see this strength come to play again and again, you start realizing it's the strength of Yehuda's. It's a strength. He buried 2 children, he buried a wife, but he still has that strength.
The strength to do what? He wanted to...
Not only to build a family, but to build the most amazing family ever.
But that wasn't his intention, like you said.
It sounded like his kids were turning out the best they could have.
Or they were amazing, and Hashem takes big people to task over little things. Saying, on the one hand, there's a Zohar that goes all out about the weight of spilling one seed. On the other hand, we don't find in the Torah that's like, you don't get the death penalty for it. You know, it's not an overt prohibition. It's not like going with a married woman or something. I'm saying it's not. Here you see the Torah takes these 2 youngsters, they're not even bar mitzvah, to task over something which we don't ordinarily see is so weighty. So you could also look at it and see that these 2 were exceptional. I think the Machon Ir emblem is supposed to be seen here.
Is this where we get the negative mitzvah?
No. Here we get a story here.
Is there a place where it actually says in the Tanakh?
David, Thursday night. Okay, if I brought it up, I guess I owe you an answer. Okay. I shouldn't have opened this Pandora's box.
Well, if it's
and
gonna
I'll
be
explain
long,
why. No, I do have to go into it. When a person takes on the process of being Chozer B'Tshuva, or Giyur, so a person is taking on a process that's very hard. And there are many areas that one has to develop oneself and deal with the areas that a person has to change. And sometimes those are areas where a person never even felt he was doing anything wrong. And suddenly a person has to work on something which until now was okay. It could be eating non-kosher. Or we had a student here once who said, I started learning Judaism. This was the story he told of himself. He converted in Machon Meir. He said, I started learning Judaism. I wanted to observe mitzvot. So after I had studied for a while, I told all my friends, I'm no longer eating pork. He wasn't Jewish yet. He said, I will try to keep kosher. I will only eat lobster. And then after another few, like half a year, a few months, he suddenly discovered that lobster wasn't kosher either. And here he was tormenting himself to only eat lobster because that was a step in the direction he wanted to take. He hadn't yet learned that lobster wasn't kosher. But that's a classical story.
Did he start eating lobster, or he was already eating both pork and lobster?
He was eating both. Why shouldn't he? He wasn't Jewish.
It's a step
toward. Right. It was a step in the right direction. I'm not saying it to put him down. I'm saying it to show how the whole tshuva and gear process is a difficult process. Now, one of the aspects of the process that is difficult is that suddenly a person has to be separate from the opposite gender. A person can't go to bars, and a person has to be careful even with negia, that on a date you don't even touch your date, meaning a person will ultimately only touch their wife. Now, that's not easy. So as part of the growth in this area, we don't usually discuss the idea that it's prohibited to spill one's seed. Because for many people, during the tshuva process, that just would be too difficult. You can't take a person and tell a person to switch so much so quickly. It just doesn't work. You can't do that. A person's going to explode. A person, you know. So that's why I don't usually touch on this topic. Tonight, we ended up touching on it. Unintentionally, I'm saying, through your question, we got there. I don't usually... Whose question? Whatever. Okay. I said your question, and his smile was so vague. Wow. So I'm saying if I touched on it, I have to explain that the reason I try to stay away from discussing it is because in the long run, it's something a person has to work on. In the short run, I'm not sure it's smart to work on it, because if a person pushes himself too far, then it might just not work. You know,
some things are much harder for some people.
Right. So to each his own. You know, you're aware that it's something to strive for, and we usually assume that after a person's married. And the Talmud calls it pat besalo. So if a person grew up observant and they never experienced anything about spilling their own seed, so then they learn the halacha and then they just adhere to it. And then when they get married and gamarnu. But if a person was accustomed to different things, so then you're already telling a person he shouldn't be with his girlfriend, he shouldn't have a girlfriend, when he's dating he has to be careful not to come in physical contact, etc. So to start telling a person that they also have no release, for many people that's too much. So that's why I don't like discussing it, because I believe it's a growth process. Eventually a person reaches that. A person should strive to that, meaning it's a healthier marriage when a person's accustomed to that when they enter it. I recommend that if a person has to really think if it's the right time to work on that at this stage of the tshuva process. Usually I would say push it down the road. Don't deal with it now. It can really be unnatural when a person's getting accustomed to so many things to deal with it. But if a person were to choose to deal with it, so I would say it's like other things you try to deal with. If a person, until a certain point, was doing it twice a day, so then they should choose one day a week where they do it only once a day. If a person was doing it every day of the week, they should choose one day where they find they could go without it. And then a person slowly grows. A person can't switch too quickly because it doesn't work. I mean, going cold turkey for most people and most of life is a bad idea. It just doesn't work. And tshuva is gradual. It's all, and again, our goal here at the Machon is to have long-term tshuva, not short-term. To go cold turkey is great, and it could work for 2 months, and then sometimes everything goes out the window. So it's much better to grow gradually and be able to hold on to that growth, even if it means taking 2 steps forward and 1 step back, but it's only 1 step back. And when a person goes cold turkey, they take 10 steps forward, but then they usually end up taking all 10 steps back at least. And that's why it's usually not a good idea to make radical changes in the tshuva process. It's better to grow gradually, and that's why I don't even like discussing this topic. But once we brought it up, I didn't feel it was right to leave it hanging there. You know, Aaron Onan died over this. But we won't talk about it, right? So I didn't think that was right. So I wanted to, once I opened it, to at least address. And again, if we're already on the topic, so then it does, ordinarily in halacha, we don't discuss of two transgressions, which is less? There was a guy who, it's recorded that a guy called Rav Moshe Feinstein and said, I'm sitting with a gun to my head and I have a plate of pork in front of me and I want to know, can I eat the pork or shoot myself? I'm going to shoot myself or I'm going to eat the pork. Which should I do? And I'm going to count till 60. Rabbi, what should I do? One, two. So Rabbi Feinstein, they say, spent the 60 seconds telling the person, you're not allowed to shoot yourself, and you're not allowed to eat the pork, and you're not allowed to shoot yourself, and you're not allowed to eat the pork, and you're not allowed to shoot yourself. Meaning, you can't put a rabbi in the corner and say, I'm going to do one of these two transgressions. Which one is it? So the answer is, they're both prohibited. So ordinarily in halacha, we don't start talking about which you should do, and then you have exceptions, and this is one of the exceptions, where the halacha says that if a person feels like they're going to do worse things, then they should go and spill their seed rather than do other things, because other things are much, much more weighty. So this is one area where the halacha actually does discuss what a person should do. And that's what I was saying earlier, that it's not always smart for a person to push himself and then reach a point where they're ready to explode, because it will drive a person in the wrong direction. Again, it's very personal. You know, each person knows themselves. But in general, here, the halacha actually does tell us that a person should not push themselves to a point where they feel they're going to lose it. A person, on the contrary, has to be aware of what their drives are, and that sometimes that's the way a person can take control of themselves and continue growing. And it's not bad. I'm saying that's what I don't like about these discussions, is that then the discussion, a person feels like, okay, I'll only be a little bit naughty. No. Part of growth is that sometimes you have to realize this is how I grow. Yeah, this is a part of it. Okay, so I'm not yet there. Say that. We're all not yet there. We're all not yet at the top of the ladder. We grow our whole life. It's a process, and a person shouldn't beat themselves up on it, over it. Yep. Yes, sir.
And I get your point, but at the
again
the example, I get your point, but the example you gave, wouldn't it be smart to eat the pork? For the pork, you can do true when you kill yourself. It's over.
Right, but when he asks the rabbi, then the answer is they're both prohibited. If you ask me which is a lesser prohibition, then you're right. Eating the pork is a lesser prohibition. But if your question is, I'm going to do one of them, which should I do? Then the answer is don't do either one.
But isn't it kind of pekuach?
Nothing. As far as I know, he never shot himself. I mean, he probably needed some help.
But isn't it kind of pekuach nefesh? Because if you say...
No, you can't create a pekuach nefesh. I'll shoot myself, so tell me I'm allowed to do something. No. That doesn't create a pekuach nefesh.
Yeah, but like you can pretty much ensure that he's not going to shoot himself if you say, okay, eat the pork. But if you say
no,
like they're both prohibited, then you don't know. Maybe he's gonna choose on his own.
Okay. You know,